From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series on the Lord's Prayer with another part of a message called A Prayer for the Prevention of Sin. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Trust and Do, Do and Trust. The text is found in Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust and do are words which go well together in the order in which the Holy Spirit has placed them. We should have faith, and that faith should work. Trust in God sets us upon holy doing. We trust God for good, and then we do good. We do not sit still because we trust, but we arouse ourselves and expect the Lord to work through us and by us. It is not ours to worry and do evil, but to trust and do good. We neither trust without doing, nor do without trusting. Adversaries would root us out if they could. But by trusting and doing, we dwell in the land. We will not go into Egypt, but we will remain in Emmanuel's land, the providence of God, the Canaan of covenant love. We are not so easily to be got rid of as the Lord's enemies suppose. They cannot thrust us out, nor stamp us out. Where God has given us a name and a place, there we abide. But what about the supply of our necessities? The Lord has put a verily into this promise. As sure as God is true, His people shall be fed. It is theirs to trust and to do, and it is the Lord's to do according to their trust. If not fed by ravens, or fed by an Obadiah, or fed by a widow, yet they shall be fed somehow. Away, ye fears! At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. As Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the petition in the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, he has already explained that the basic desire in this petition is that we as God's people be kept from sin. We are asking God to make us holy and watchful so that we don't fall into temptation. It is a request that we may walk humbly before God and that we be not guilty of presuming upon his promise to forgive sin. Furthermore, this petition reminds us that Christ has faced temptation on our behalf and conquered Satan. We are praying that God would not leave us to face temptation alone. Now, to continue this message, a prayer for the prevention of sin. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Here are three things, then. The devil and the world and the flesh surrounding us. That's why we need to pray, Lord, lead us. We're in a battle. This stress is a great warfare. But this text also confesses a great weakness and a great wickedness. You'll notice that there is absolutely no trust in the flesh here. We recognize in the previous verse we have sinned. Therefore we pray, Lord, forgive us. Now we're recognizing that our flesh, the old man, is sold out to sin. As I've quoted from Romans 7:18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. We must look at our sins, our lusts, our evil propensities, and confess, in the words of 2 Chronicles 20:12, O God, we have no might against this great company that cometh up against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. You look at the whole host of your own sin and wickedness. You look at the failures that have dogged your footsteps. You look at the weakness that now inhabits you and indeed not only inhabits you but governs you as you seek to face the forces that are against you. And you say, Lord, I have no might against this great company. We look at our sins and we have got to say what the psalmist said, Lord, my enemies are many and they are strong. That's why Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Take heed lest he fall. Never get proud. I think that a Christian is never in more danger than when he says with, in the words of the psalmist again, he certainly found out how foolish he was, I shall never be moved. As soon as you think it, you'll not only be moved, you'll fall flat on your face. Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he said, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's a great deal of hypocrisy and Phariseeism that can get in among the people of God. And they can stick out their chest so proudly. I am not as other men. I have not done what they have done. I wouldn't fall as he has fallen. And if the whole truth were known before God, maybe you've fallen a whole lot further. No confidence in the flesh, said Paul. No confidence in the flesh. Not only for our justification, but for our sanctification and for our victory. The victory is not by willpower. The victory is not by strength of character. In us there is nothing good. And this petition confesses a great weakness. We are coming in our weakness and we're crying to God. Therefore it expresses a great wish. Now here we come to the heart of what the text is all about. This is the prayer. This is the desire. First, to be kept from sin and to be kept from whatever would incline us to sin. This is the desire. This is what Jesus is saying we should pray about. Lord, keep us from sin. Keep us from everything that would lead us into sin. Keep us not only from sin, but from being in the place where we have opportunity to sin. Keep us out of the place where it's easy for us to sin. Put barriers in our way. Make it difficult for me to get into sin. That's what it's praying about. Therefore, it's a desire that we would be prevented from going where we will be weakened and liable to fall. Lord, keep us out of those places. Keep us out of those situations. wherein we are going to have our will sapped, our affections weakened, our vision of God blurred, and our senses for sin stirred up. Keep us out of those places and situations. Wherever we are, let us always have a clear vision of our Savior. Let us always have a clear understanding of the gospel. Let us always have a clear knowledge of the will and the leading of our God. Lead us not into temptation. It's a desire that we should be delivered from the putting ourselves in the place where we're liable to fall. And of course, as I've indicated earlier, it's a desire to be delivered from making God's willingness to forgive an excuse for sin. You know, this comes over all too frequently. Well, if I do wrong, I can always take it to the Lord. We pray, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. So if I do sin, I can go back to God. You know how David prayed that the Lord would save him from presumptuous sins? That's the sin of presumption. Woe betide the man who willfully puts himself in the position to fall into the position of sin just because he's presuming on the mercy of God to forgive him. Woe betide that man. There is mercy with the Lord. There is forgiveness with the Lord. Psalm 130 verse 4 tells us. There's forgiveness with the Lord. That he may be feared. Not presumed upon. You think of the words of the 85th Psalm. The 8th verse. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not return again to folly. It's a big but. Let them not return again to folly. And when we're praying, forgive us our debts and lead us not into temptation, we're specifically praying, Lord, deliver us from making the willingness of our God to forgive an excuse for sin. I think there's something else we're praying. And I have to say this is something for many years I have prayed again and again and again. And that is that God would never leave us to face any temptation alone. Or God would never leave us to try us. Trials will come. When I pray this prayer, I'm always praying, Lord, never leave me for a second to prove what's in me. Because I will confess up front, if you leave me for a second, I will fail. I think of Hezekiah, one of the godliest kings Judah ever had. You remember he was on the point of death. In fact, his illness was such that it naturally would have taken him. But in answer to his prayer, God healed him and gave him 15 added years of life. Hezekiah, understandably, was elated. But this is where he went wrong. Instead of being humbled, great man of God though he was, he became proud. Why on earth you should become proud because God had delivered you from death and given you 15 extra years of life is hard to understand until you have a good look in the mirror and you'd see you and I would be just as bad. He became proud. When the king of Babylon sent messengers to him, Hezekiah was too proud at that time, too elated. to see any danger or sense that there was any threat. He didn't even pray about it. He simply welcomed them and showed them everything there was to be seen in the whole kingdom. And God sent word to him, Hezekiah, you'll pay for that. These are the very people that will come in. They will demolish and destroy what you have shown them. This is how 2 Chronicles 32:31 puts it. In the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto Hezekiah to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, if I am to face a trial, let it be with the sight of my God going before me. Let it be with the realization of thy nearness to me. But never leave me, not even for a moment, in the moment of trial. And then it means something more. In context, I think this is a very powerful aspect of its meaning. Never let me be exposed to the full fury of Satan's power. If you go back to Matthew 4, you'll find that the Lord Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. There you'll read in the first 11 verses of the temptations with which Satan bombarded the Lord Jesus. Now let me say that the Lord Jesus met Satan head on. He met Satan in person. He met Satan in the plenitude of the devil's power. He endured everything, concentrated into these particular expressions of temptation, where it was all the malignancy, and there was all the fury, and there was all the hatred, and there was all the seductiveness of which Satan was capable. And Luke 4 verse 13 says, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. For a season. But he soon returned to the fight. You read through the Gospels, what were those attempts in Christ's life? They were Satan's hatred of Christ. What were the attempts to entrap him in his words into folly or failure? It was the temptation of Satan. The vicious attacks upon his reputation. It was Satan coming back into the fight. Hebrews 4 tells us Christ was in all points tempted like as we are, apart from sin. That is, apart from those temptations that flow out of a sinful nature.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.